Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to worship here at Wesley Memorial, or if you're watching us on Zoom, everybody is very, very welcome. And for those of you who are here, please stay for drinks and chat afterwards in the hall on my left. It's a great pleasure to welcome someone who needs no introduction to us, Simon Blaney, who is going to lead our worship this morning. Simon is a member of our congregation and also a Methodist local preacher. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here on such a gorgeous sunny morning. We've come here this morning to worship God and to learn more about his message. So without further ado, let's start by praising him as we sing our first song. It's number 135 in the Circuit Songbook, and the words will be on the screen. Shout for joy and sing. So let's really shout and praise God as we sing this hymn. Excellent. So, we've all praised God in our first song, and the next thing we normally do in worship is to say thank you to God. And God has done lots of amazing things for us, but the things that we want to be thankful for might be different for each one of us. So I thought what we could do is all share the things we're thankful for, and I'd like someone to write them on this board for me. Maybe not you, Edmund. I'd like someone a bit bigger who can reach to the top. Would anyone like to volunteer? Anyone from Rockfish? Ben? You fancy writing? Excellent, Ben. So, can we tell Ben, what are we thankful for? Anyone? What would we...
Family.
Family, excellent. So let's put that on the list. What else? Yeah, Edmund, what are you thankful for? Plants. Is that pen not working? Oh, no, it's all right. I think let's maybe try another one. Just about all right. I think it's all right. What else? What's someone thankful for? Yes, food. Food, sunshine we've got. Anything else?
Worship.
Holidays.
Rockfish.
Let's give Ben a chance to catch up here.
Would you say rockfish, holidays?
Food, have we got food?
Food on there.
Worship, have we got worship?
Worship.
Anything we're missing?
Sunshine,
yes. Anything else we're thankful for? Sunshine? Friends?
Friends.
Yes? Christmas? Excellent. Yes, definitely. Well, I'm going to be talking about Christmas again in a moment, so I doubt if I had the reminder. Yes, Alice. School. Excellent. Yes.
Beauty.
Beauty. Great. Oh, another one. Yes.
Love.
Love. Yes, very good. Anything else? Chocolate on Zoom. I think probably just chocolate rather than specifically eating it on Zoom, though that is also good, I'm sure. Except possibly for the people watching. Anything else? Zoom. Yes, definitely Zoom. An unexpected thing we've been thankful for these last few years. Yes?
Electricity.
Yeah, very useful. Right, last couple of things. Anything else? Yes?
Water.
Very important. Yes, in fact. Good thought, Laura. Thank you. Pardon? Animals. Excellent. One more.
DNA.
Yes, okay. Unexpected, but yes, very good. Anyone else before we finish?
The Pope going to South Sudan.
The Pope going to South Sudan, right, okay. Anyone who doesn't know about that, Paul will explain at coffee. Birds. Excellent. I think that'll do. I think we've probably got enough unless there's anything else. Yes. Laughter. Good one. Yes, definitely. Is that something else? Pizza Express. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Very important. Yeah.
The NHS.
Yes, thank you, David. Good thought. Definitely. I think that's probably enough. Chairs. Yeah, yeah. Right, I think we will probably leave it there, but if anyone does have anything else they're thankful for, you can think about it as we have this short prayer. So let's all pray. Lord God, we come here this morning to give thanks for all that you have done for us and for all the things you've given us. We thank you for all the things that are written down on this paper, but also for all our other blessings. And we pray that you'll help each one of us to remember just how fortunate we are to have so many good things to enjoy. Amen. Right, we're now going to have our Bible reading, Ben. Thank you very much. And yes, let's have our reading.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 19. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good work and give glory to the Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Well, I was very glad, Rachel, that you mentioned Christmas. Because I can't believe that we're already in February, because it seems as if hardly any time has passed since the Christmas holidays. But it can be interesting sometimes at the start of February to think back to your Christmas presents and think, first of all, how many you can actually remember, and then secondly, how many of those presents you're still actually using. Right, I'll take your comments later, young man, but let's just keep quiet for a minute. So, I did actually ask not Edmund, but Humphrey to bring along one of his presents this morning that he is still using. Do you want to bring it over here, Humphrey? And we can show everyone. Come on then. Right, what have you got there? What have you got? You're feeling a bit shy. Do you want to turn it on? If you sit down. Do you want to turn it on? And then people will be able to see what it is. There we go. What is it? It's a torch. So Humphrey got this torch for Christmas, which he is still definitely using. But the reason I asked him to bring it along this morning is you might have noticed in that reading we heard that there was a lot about light. And you'll see this is actually, first of all, the most portable light we've got in our house, but also one of the brightest, because while it's a very small torch, it does give out a surprisingly bright light. Now, in the reading, though, we heard Jesus saying how people wouldn't light a lamp and leave it under a bushel. Now, does anyone know what a bushel is? A sort of basket. Yeah. Have we got a picture, Janet, of a bushel? There we go. So this is the best picture I could find. So it's also a unit of measurement, or it used to be. I don't think we use it very much now, but I think at the time when Jesus was talking, it would have been more of a basket. Now, I couldn't find a bushel, but fortunately, translations vary, and some Bibles translate bushel as bowl. So I did have a look in the kitchen, and I couldn't quite find a bowl either, unfortunately, but what I did have was this saucepan. So shall we see if we can hide the light under the saucepan and see what happens? So do you want to put it on the ground? And anyone else who wants to come and have a look, please do. So can we... There we go. Now, we can still see a little bit of light, can't we? Because that isn't a very flat saucepan, which is a bit annoying. But we can't see nearly as much as we could. And in fact, if we put it there, you'll see the light is almost extinguished. So the reason Jesus was saying that is because there's not much point having the light which Jesus brings if it is hidden away. Now, later on in that reading, Jesus said something along the lines of, a city built on a hill can never be hidden. And what he meant there was that we need to let the light that he gives us shine out rather than being hidden under the bushel. So what I thought we could do, I haven't got a hill, so not very portable, but what I do have is a bag full of Duplo. So what I'd like you guys to do, and anyone else who'd like to come and help, is to see if you can build a Duplo hill that is bigger than that pan. And you've got about as much time as it takes Rockfish to play us through our next song, which I don't think you'll know. So it's kind of some speed Duplo challenge here. So anyone who'd like to help with a Duplo, come and help. Anyone who is in Rockfish, you might wish to play through the song. So let's see how quickly we can build our Duplo hill. So we need to be able to balance this light on top of that hill, so you might need to think carefully about how you finish it off. I'm sorry, adults, that you can't take part, but I will leave the Duplo at the front if anyone wants to have a quick play afterwards, as long as no one takes it away. Right, how are we doing? Oh, I don't know. I think that looks good, but what we're going to do is we're going to see if we can balance our light on this hill. There we go. Right. Do you want to move away so everyone can see what you've done? There we go. So the light on the hill cannot now be hidden by our bushel or saucepan in this case. So what is Jesus telling us here? Well, he's telling us that he's given us an amazing light to share with the world, but we need to make sure that it doesn't get hidden, because there are lots of things in the world that will try to hide Jesus' light. So what he's reminding us to do is to raise his light up really high, just as we've done here, so that it can shine out for everyone to see. And we're going to think a little bit more about how we do that in a few moments. But first, we're going to sing another song. It's a song of praise which reminds us how great God is, but also a song that asks us to bring him into our lives. So let's sing together, My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. All sit down once again. Right, I might turn this torch off just so that it's not blinding everyone. There we go. You look after that. But we'll remember the light shining out on that hill. So, we are hopefully going on holiday to Croatia later this year. So Croatia is a country in the east of Europe. And we're going to be hiring a car while we're there, which means that I need, before we go, to look up the Croatian road signs to find out what they all mean so that I don't get confused when we're driving around, which has happened to me before when we've been driving in other countries, that I'll suddenly see a sign and I don't know what it means, which is a bit worrying in case it's warning me of something very dangerous. However, one of the good things about road signs is that there are international standards, which mean that road signs of different types look the same in different countries. This is to try and stop people getting confused. And I've got one example of two different kinds of road sign here. So don't worry too much about what's on them. What's the biggest difference between those two signs? Okay, so we won't worry about too much what's on them, but the shape is the difference. One is a triangle and one is a circle. Does anyone know the difference between signs with red circles and signs with red triangles in terms of what they mean? Circle means you can't do it. Yes. What does a triangle mean? A warning. Excellent. So, circle signs mean don't do it. Triangles mean a warning. So let's look at some more specific road signs. Does anyone know what this one means? Pardon? No red cars. No, but good thought. Anyone else? Edmund?
No cars on this road.
Anyone?
No overtaking.
Exactly. What that's trying to show you is that the red car is being naughty because it's in red and overtaking the black car. So that means no overtaking. Why do you think we might have a sign that says no overtaking?
A narrow road.
Sorry, Jim, say that again. There might not be enough space. Yeah, Jonathan? Exactly, yes. So for various reasons, it might not be safe to overtake. So it's saying, right, do not overtake, not allowed. Let's have our next one. Does anyone know what this one means? Yeah?
No walking.
Well, it's a bit more specific than that. Yes, Jasper? Don't pull your car on the motorway. I mean, probably not a good idea, but I don't think that's quite what this one's saying.
No loading.
I don't think it's that either, from what I can trace. Give way, there's someone using a scooter. Could be, but this is a don't do sign, remember. This is a not allowed. No hand carts. I think that's right, Simeon. So this is a Croatian road sign. I had to look this one up. I think it means no pushing hand carts, which seems a rather specific instruction. Why might we have a sign that says no pushing hand carts?
So you don't get run over.
I mean, that is probably fair. Why do we think in a specific place there might be no pushing handcarts? A fast road, maybe, yeah.
Because there are lots of
handcarts and people are pushing them where they shouldn't be. Maybe, yes, Jim. It's the motorway, maybe. Catherine?
A fast road near a market.
A fast road near a market. Oh, yeah, we're getting specific now. Yes, Edmund. Dual carriageway near the middle of town. Yeah, that's not very good traffic planning, but yes, you might be right there. Well, it's a bit unclear, isn't it? It's telling us not to do something. It's a bit harder to work out why. So why are we thinking about road signs? Well, before Jesus came, the Jewish people tried to follow the way of God and to live in the way that God wanted them to by following a set of very specific rules, a bit like these don't do something signs. There were lots of don't do something signs in what we call the Old Testament that people had to try and follow if they wanted to live in the way that God wanted them to. But the problem was, some of these rules, people had forgotten why they even existed, a bit like this handcart sign. It wasn't really clear why they didn't have to do it. There was just a rule that said, you must not do this. But when Jesus came, things changed, and his message changed from a set of rules which said, don't do this, to something which was a bit more like the triangular road signs we saw before. So let's have a triangular road sign. Right, what do you think this one means? Jim? Couldn't hear quite enough. I think it's saying there's a river or a lake nearby and it's warning you that you need to be careful. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, Rachel. A cliff right in front of you. Yeah, it might be warning you that, mightn't it? Edmund. Yeah, so you're near the beach and the tide might be in, right. So it's warning you that there is some water-based hazard with a big drop. Yes, Gregory?
Parking.
Yeah, well, yes, you would have to be very careful parking somewhere like that, wouldn't you? It's the sort of thing that worries me. So it's warning us that there's some kind of edge with water underneath, maybe a beach that might be close. Why is the sign warning us of that, do you think? Yes. It might explode when you fall down. It might, yeah. Any other thoughts? Why might we be warned about this?
Because the car might sink and
you might drown. The car might sink and you might drown, yeah. That is true. Yes, Jim. Can you relay that, Joseph? Yeah, that's right. Cars aren't watertight, are they? So if you go in the water, you're probably going to get quite wet. Yes. And you can't get out. Yes, if you drove your car into the water, you might find it hard to get out through the pressure of the water. That is one of the big dangers of driving into the water. So I think what we're hearing here is that generally driving your car into the water is a bad idea. But this sign isn't telling you not to do it. If you wish, you are still allowed to drive your car into the water. But the sign is suggesting that this probably isn't a good thing to do. Janet, let's see our next sign. Right. What do you think this one is warning us of? Yes. Yeah, so I think, yes, Rachel. Yeah.
And then it'll explode and then it'll be
It would, yeah. So to sort of summarise that, there could be warthogs on the road. If you hit one, it's going to be messy for everyone involved. So yes, some kind of pig-type animal, whether a boar or a warthog, is apparently a risk on the road ahead. So why is it warning us of the risk of warthogs or boars? We've kind of heard some ideas, yes. Yep, you might. That isn't great for the boar. Yes, Rachel? They might hurt your ears. That is a risk I hadn't thought of. Yes, you are right. Yes, Jim? Oh, there might be a boar farm. Yeah, so there might be a risk of escaped boars. Yeah. Could you repeat the last bit, Joe? I couldn't. You don't want it to become a stew. Well, I might want it to become a stew, actually. It's quite tasty, wild boar. But yes, Gregory?
John, Mr. Shine. Pigs, yes.
Yes, indeed, yes. So I think, again, yes, Humphrey. You might hurt them when they're walking across. You might. That's quite right. And we don't want to hurt the boars. So I think what we're hearing then is if we hit the boar, it's not going to be very good for the boar. It's probably not going to be very happy about it. It's a warthog. Well, okay, whether it's a warthog or a boar, I think probably in Croatia it's more likely to be a boar. But if you were in Africa, it might be a warthog. Do you think there might be warthogs in Croatia? I'll look out and I will let you know. But yes, it's not going to be good for the boar. It's probably not going to be that good for our car either, because boars and indeed warthogs are quite large, and they might...
They're quite heavy as well.
They are. So if you... Yes. So it's going to be quite bad, isn't it? So quite heavy. And the problem... Yes? It might. That is a separate hazard of being in Croatia, that octopuses might attack you. Yes, Jonathan? We are diverging slightly from the point, but yes, Jonathan? They might. So I think that's particularly why we're being warned, because they might leap out and take us by surprise. There is an interesting sideline here about efforts to deal with boar collisions, but we won't go down that route just now. So I think where we're getting to is not, I think we've probably covered enough on boars for the moment. So if we hit a boar, bad for the boar, probably bad for our car, probably going to lose the deposit on the rental car, which is not something you want to do if you can avoid it. But again, it's not saying don't drive into boars. It's just saying it might be a good idea to watch out for boars, because if we hit one, bad for our car, bad for the boar. They might. So the reason we're talking about boars and indeed driving into the water is because, as we said, Jesus' coming has moved us away from a situation where we're told not to do certain things as Christians. Instead, what Jesus does is he warns us about the consequences of our actions. And he says what we need to do is to think very carefully about whether anything we do is good for our relationship with God, and whether it's good for ourselves, and whether it's good for the rest of creation. He doesn't tell us absolutely not to do things, but he says you need to think carefully about what the consequences of your actions are. And sometimes, not for the moment, sometimes this is about the direct impacts of our actions. So there are things we could do that are obviously wrong. So if I was to go and hit someone in the congregation, that would clearly be a bad thing to do, because it might hurt them and I would probably get arrested, quite rightly. But there's also more subtle things we have to be careful of, because we have to think about the risk of people copying the things we're doing and getting into trouble. And I'll show you an example of this. So, no, not at the moment. But this does relate to you. So sometimes when I'm sitting in church on a Sunday morning, I feel really hungry. And the reason I feel really hungry is because we come to church on a Sunday morning we do junior park run up at Harcourt Hill, which means running for 2 kilometres quite fast with Edmund. And we run so fast that it uses up quite a lot of energy. But set against that, I can't have too much breakfast before we do parkrun, because if I do that, then I feel sick, which is not great. We will. So just let me carry on for a moment, please. So because I've done this run and because I've used up a lot of energy, I sometimes feel really hungry during the service, and I feel that I need a snack. So do you think it would be all right if I had a snack now? Yes? Right, okay, so I've come prepared. So if someone could help me put this table up here, if someone could come and hold the other end, because this is a civilized church, we need to eat properly, thank you. So we'll put that down there. In my bag, I've got, what have I got? I've got somewhere, I've got a tablecloth. Could someone... Oh, well, that's right, I've got my own snack, but thank you. Could someone help me put this tablecloth on? Rachel? So let's put the tablecloth on the table. Do we tell us, right, can you go and sit down for a minute, please? There we go. Tablecloth, what else do I need? I probably need a placemat, don't I? Let's do this properly. Chair. Right. I think if you could go and sit over on the chairs so that people can see... who aren't there. Thank you. So I've got a placemat. I've got a bowl. I thought I had a spoon. Here we go. Bowl and spoon. What else do I need? I need some food, don't I? Right. Let me see what I've got in my bag. Here we go. Some food. Can everyone see what this is? Whiskers. Cat biscuits. Excellent. A perfect snack. So what I'm going to do, see if we can get some out. There we go. Whiskers. There we go. No, very tasty.
You're
going to
be sick.
I feel much better. I am eating it. Can you go and sit down, please?
You're going to be sick.
Oh, I just need a drink.
You're going
to be sick. I'm going to be sick. Well, so why do you think me sitting down for my snack is not a good idea? Yes. I could be eating something. Well, it's good for cats. Why is it not good for me? Fair point. So direct consequences might not be good for me because I might be sick. Why else do you think this might not be a good idea? Wait a moment. Anyone else? Everyone else is going to be jealous. Is that what you're saying? For? Well... Maybe. Anything else? I didn't take that long. Go and sit down. Right. I might grow into a cat. Well, that could be a risk, and I won't want to lick myself. Yes, Jim. I can't do that if I'm running. No, I mean, this is true. Why might it be bad for other people if they see me eating cat biscuits in church? They might think it's a good idea because I'm normally quite sensible. Thank you, Jenny. I'm not sure everyone would say that. Joanna, yes. My cat might go hungry. Yeah, that is a risk. She would not be happy. Yes. They might want them to... Well, that's it. So... eating cat biscuits is actually not a very good idea, but people might see me doing it and think, well, he's doing it, so it's clearly fine for me to do it too. Or alternatively, they might be coming to church for the first time, and they might see me eating cat biscuits, and they might think, what? That's what Christians do at church? Christians are really weird. I'm not going to come back there. So a couple of reasons why it might be fine for me to eat these. They're not actually cat biscuits. As Edmund has spotted, it is muesli, in case anyone is worried. And I did make sure I didn't get any cat biscuits on it. But we have to think carefully as Christians about our actions, because first of all, people might see us doing things that we shouldn't do and copy them and get in trouble themselves. Or they might see us doing things which really put them off being a Christian. So we do actually have to think quite carefully about everything that we're doing to make sure we are setting a good example of what it means to live in the way of God. Now, that was a very silly example, but you see the point I'm making. People see what we're doing as Christians, and they think that's how Christians behave. So that means we need to think carefully to make sure we are being good examples of how Christians should live their lives. So we're going to sing another song now, which helps remind us of that. It's called Walk in the Light. Good. It's number 397 in Singing the Faith. So let's stand and sing together. So, we've thought about how we need to be careful about what we do so that we don't lead other people to do things that are bad for them. But being a Christian isn't just about avoiding doing bad things. It's actually far more about doing good things and showing other people that doing good things is what being a Christian is all about. Showing them that God wants to make the world a better place and that he wants each one of us to help him do this. And there is another type of road sign which relates to this. So, Janet, let's have our final road. Right. So this is a blue circle road sign. So does anyone know what blue circle road signs mean? Jim, yes. Yes, it means here you can do this. So what do we think this one means? Yes? You can cycle. Exactly, that's right. Have we got another one? I can't remember. Yes, what does this one mean, do you think? Pardon? You may wear a hat. Yes, I think it is. A particular kind of hat, possibly. Any other things that this tells us? Yes, Thomas? You can walk. Yes, that's right. Gregory? You can walk holding hands. So not just you can walk and be friends. David, yes. Children can take their grandparents out for an airing. Yes, definitely. Alice? You can cross the road. Yeah, I think that's right. So it's meaning this bit of road you can walk if you want to. Yes. So generally a positive thing. Lots of good things around walking that we can do here. So this is... That's the last one, isn't it, I think? I think it is. Just checking we're not missing any. Yes. So it's saying, all of these blue signs are saying, hey, you can do something, and it's giving out a very positive message. And this is the kind of message we want to give out as Christians, because sometimes people think that going to church or being a Christian is all about not doing things and telling people that they can't do things, like those earlier signs we saw. But that isn't true. Actually, being a Christian is far more about saying, you can do that. God allows you to do this, and God wants you to do this to make the world a better place. So maybe what we need is some signs around our church and around our lives to tell us the kind of good things we can do. So what kind of things do you think we might want to do that we could put on a sign to say, God says you can do this? Maybe in church, maybe somewhere else. Any thoughts? Eat food in church. Yes, though, we'll talk to the caretakers about how much. Yes. Show kindness, absolutely, yes. Eat chocolate cake. Yes, I think, yes. We need to think about the consequences of doing so, but we can indeed eat chocolate cake. Yes, Jonathan. Love one another, excellent. One of the most important things God wants us to do. Anyone else? Absolutely. Gregory, yes. Wait a moment. Chocolate cake, right, yes. Okay, we'll need to think about the biblical implications, but absolutely, no reason why not, yes. Believe in God and Jesus. God does want us to do that, that's right. Well, what I have got under here is I've actually got, hopefully, enough road signs for everyone in the church. I'm afraid they're not blue, because I didn't want to run up the church's printing bill too much. I was trying to think about warnings as well. But what I would like is for some people to help me hand these signs out to everyone in church. So can you go and give these to make sure everyone's got one? Excellent. We've got some more volunteers coming. There we go. Can you take those round to the people? Excellent. There we go. And if someone could go and give some to Rockfish too, so we don't forget Rockfish. Excellent. So, right, while we're doing that, if you haven't got a pen, we've also got a box of pens. So what I would like you to do is just to spend a minute or two either writing or drawing something on your sign that you think it's particularly important that God wants us to do. Is that all right? And you can colour it in blue later if you want to. Maybe, Jack, could you take those round, Joanna? Thank you. So if you need a pen, Joanna will bring them round. But if you've got a pen already, probably use that. So I'm not sure how many pens we've got. There's definitely enough signs, but I'm not sure there's enough pens. So draw on the sign something that God would like you to do, either to make your life better or to help make the world a better place. And you'll see around the edge of the sign, there are some crosses to remind us that we're doing this because we are Christians. So I'll just give you a couple of minutes to do that. Is anyone still missing a pen? I might be able to bring some more around, actually. Oh, pencils. Excellent. Thank you. Anyone need a pencil? Any more pencils? Anyone still lacking a writing implement? Anyone? And we'll leave the boxes out at the front so you can put them back at the end. Great. So don't worry if you don't get this completely finished now. If you're doing a really complicated picture, you can always take it home and finish it later on. Right. Thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Can you go and do your drawing, please? All right, you get a pen then. How are people doing? Edmund? Okay, I think I'll give you another 30 seconds to finish your drawing, but don't worry if you don't finish it now, as I say. No. Okay, Evan. Should be time to your prayer in here, okay? So come here. Okay, well, I think we will move on now, but if you do want to do more... Have you done yours? Excellent. What have you done?
Snowdrops.
Snowdrops. Excellent. That's lovely. So what I'd like you all to do is to take your sign home with you at the end of the service, and then you can use that maybe through the week as a reminder of this thing that God would like you to do to help him in his task of helping us to make the world a better place. But can we calm down, please? But what we're going to do now is we're going to have a prayer to bring all of our things that we want to do together. So I think Edmund, if he's been sensible enough, he's going to come over and read this to us. But you need to come and stand still, okay, please? Right, so let us all pray, and we'll pray together for the things that we want to change in the world.
Lord God, we pray that you will help us to shine your light in all the places in the world where darkness rules, where people feel sad, despairing and alone. We pray that you will help us to set a good example to other people and show them what it really means to be a Christian. And we pray that you will help us to do everything we can to make the world a better place, a place that is more like the way you meant it to be. Amen.
And let's bring all our prayers together now by saying the prayer that Jesus taught to us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth.
So let's finish our worship by singing our final song, These Are the Days of Elijah, again reminding us about how God wants us to change the world. So it's not in the hymn books, but there is a sheet for those of you who need it, and the words will be up on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's close our service by saying the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.